Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, David and Vicki will visit with Mike Zarek, University of Georgia Extension Engineer, to discuss ventilation in commercial poultry houses. And as always, we will wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the show. What do you say, Vicki?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. We're Jayless again.
Yeah.
And
he seems to be a busy guy lately.
Yeah, he actually does. He actually does. So this week has been kind of a tailwind. I mean, really, we...
really the last 2 weeks because of the state fair. And, you know, it's always busy time.
Yep.
And it's like the time passes really quickly once the state fair starts.
Oh, absolutely. And this week we actually had our poultry expo out at the Meyer Creek Park, and had Mr. Mike Zarek from University of Georgia join us. Welcome, Mike.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
We talked a lot about a lot of stuff today. I'm not sure I can take in all the information that we actually got to go with today, but talk to us a little bit about what you talk with the producers about at the expo.
Well, right now we're starting to move into winter time, and with gas prices skyrocketing over the last 6 months or so, most growers are really getting concerned about, are they going to be able to afford heat their houses and ventilate the way they need to make sure the birds stay healthy and the litter stays dry and the ammonia is kept to a minimum. And my point today with my presentations was to try to explain to people a lot of the principles behind cold weather ventilation. Too many times growers get told what to do and not really get enough background and education on why they need to do it. And that's what I did, is, okay, these are the principles on how do you control moisture, how do you control ammonia, how do you maximize bird health on using negative pressure ventilation.
Yeah, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, what makes the birds healthy. And ventilation, I think, is probably one of the most important things to be able to have healthy birds, is to have that ventilation.
Exactly. It's all about, during cold weather, controlling that moisture. The birds put a lot of moisture in that house, and we need to ventilate to remove that moisture. Because the drier the house is, the better the litter is, the lower the ammonia is, and just the overall health of our birds. You don't want to be growing birds in this warm, humid environment, because it's just not healthy. So we really trying to get growers to focus on control the moisture, sitting there and basing our ventilation basically off of how much water the birds are drinking. The more they drink, this is how you ventilate. And we have a couple different apps that they could use to help them understand how much they need to ventilate under different weather conditions, different mm-hmm. bird ages, to ensure that they keep their moisture under control, which means they're going to keep the birds happy, healthy, and growing fast.
Right. And I want to get back to the apps later. I want to come back and touch on that, because I think those are so neat and so much help for those growers. But talk with us a little bit about the different ways that producers can eliminate or help control the moisture in their barns.
When it comes to controlling moisture, you have to realize, okay, it's the birds that are adding the moisture. You know, it's first and foremost. And the more moisture they add, the more you need to ventilate. It's also important that they're bringing the air in properly, you know, that they're bringing it under a nice negative pressure so the air comes in quickly, moves along the ceiling, heats up, dries out, and moves down to floor level. It's also about getting air movement in the house, trying to move the air around with circulation fans to help promote air movement over the litter, which helps us to remove moisture from the litter.
One of the things that you you talked about, like David alluded, there was a lot of information today and just about this subject. And, you know, there's just a lot of management that goes into, you know, just raising the poultry. I mean, you know, and I know that's true of all livestock, but, you know, you mentioned later in your talk today, you know, the greatest resource in the poultry houses is close to the ceiling. You know, that caught my attention, and just the, you know, like the air, you know, like you were talking about, that air and that warm air rises, and you know, Do you really think that these producers really understand that whole concept? Is that something that most understand, you know, or is that something that you think is a, is more of a teachable moment that that needs to be understood a little bit better?
I think in many ways they do sort of have the general concept, but a lot of times it needs to be pointed out. They go, oh, that's why I've got to do that. And that's what we're trying to do, is give them examples and some of the science behind what they already know. You know, because a lot of what I said in general is nothing new. They're going, oh, it's sort of explaining the physics and some of the more technical aspects of it to make more sense. And I think that's one of the challenges with our industry, or any livestock industry, is people don't understand, the public don't understand, is how technical growing chickens is. It's a science. It's just not a few birds in the backyard. We're talking, it takes years of education and understanding about the science, even on a grower level, about nutrition and water additives. I'm always amazed how much science the growers really know that the public just doesn't understand. It's just chickens throwing some feed. You know, it's no, it's a lot. And, you know, as a role as an extension, is as an extension specialist, is trying to educate both the grower and the public about, okay, here's the science behind it, and trying to get new people into it, realizing, hey, this is technical. There's computers and data acquisition systems and structures and all this stuff, which is really a important. I wasn't raised on a farm. I'm a subdivision kid, and I sort of got involved in agriculture in college sort of accidentally. And so I was always the odd man out because I didn't have a true appreciation about how amazing agriculture is when it comes to how we feed the world. And you look at it, we're so dang good at it. And
efficient.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The efficiency of, when you think about what you just said, you know, feeding the world with such a small population. I mean, the percentage of the farmers out there that's doing that, and the efficiency that they have. But the reason that they can do that is because of the technologies in place, and because of understanding that science and having the technology to do what they do. And that's the same in the poultry business as it is in grain crops. You know, it really is.
It is fascinating what we can do. And you start, he's a little even back where it wasn't that long ago that chickens were a luxury item. You know, they were eggs, and that's why you don't eat those things, because that's where you're getting
your
eggs from.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's just so commonplace, people don't understand that it's a staple. It is high quality food. It costs nothing. You start looking at what a chicken cost 50 years ago as proportional to minimum wage and things like that. And it all has to do because it's a science. We've got it down. We've genetic selection. We picked the right bird. We know probably as much about chicken nutrition as we do human nutrition. We know we feed these birds
a
very precise, healthy diet. They really do eat better than we do.
Right.
And, you know, there's so many aspects that how good we are about genetics and nutrition and health, and, you know, and the grower pulls that all together and is able to, you know, we're able to produce that bird nice and cheap, where everybody can buy chicken whenever they really want.
But it doesn't just happen.
No.
You know? And then outside of just the bird itself, I mean, the maintenance and upkeep on those buildings, I mean, that's daily.
Yeah,
sometimes hourly.
Yeah.
You know.
And you have to change the equipment. You have to keep up with, you know, you have to, equipment wears out. You know, obviously, you know, there's some maintenance issues there that folks have to take care of, and new technologies that come out all the time. And you talked about a lot of those today. This afternoon, we had the opportunity to visit a couple of poultry houses, and, you know, you talked about some of the technologies that they're using, some of the technologies that are coming out that they may want to use. You know, so to keep up with those things, I think is just amazing. The management that goes into chicken houses, and I'm like you, when I first thought, that's not, you just feed them, you know, feed them and water them, you know, but that's not right. You know, and I've had a crash course being here in the last 4 or 5 years. I've kind of had a crash course about how to be a poultry producer and the things that they go through and all the things that they talk about when they get together, you know, all the side conversations that happen. And that's, to me, that's where you really learn some stuff. But, you know, to keep up with the technologies, you know, that to me, that's amazing, that what they can do with those birds in a certain amount of days and those birds being on feed. What are some of the technologies that you see that are coming up that maybe folks haven't heard about yet that maybe make their life easier? If we've got some poultry producers that are listening to our show, you know, and hopefully we do, you know, what are some things maybe that are coming up technology-wise that will make their life a little bit easier?
I think if we're talking, you know, 5-10 years down the road a little bit, I think the variable speed tunnel fans is going to be the next step in efficiency. It's amazing how much we've lowered the energy input into poultry houses over the year, because, you know, first there was the LED lighting, so we reduced our lighting cost by about 80%. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking at our fans. Our fans are incredibly efficient. You know, we probably increased the efficiency of our fans probably 30 or 40% over the last 20 years. So they're very good. But the new technology would be variable speed fans. And what you can do, it gets into a lot of engineering, but in general, it's cheaper to run two fans at 50% than one fan at 100%. Far cheaper. Mm-hmm. So you're looking that you can reduce the power usage of our fans possibly 30 to 50%. So, you know, that technology is coming right now. Quite honestly, it's expensive. It's like flat screen TVs. You know, the first one goes out and buy one, you got to be rich.
Yep.
But over time, that price comes down. So you see that coming into play. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be more and more interest in terms of solar, not just solar power, but solar, using the sun to heat the incoming air, either using attic inlets, or we call them transpired collectors, where basically you're pulling air through a shade cloth, a very large area shade cloth that the sun heats up to 150, 160 degrees, even when it's 40 or 50 degrees outside, and using that to heat our incoming air. So it's a lot is trying to get the house more energy efficient, because that's always growers' concerns, and trying to make the house easier to manage.
Right. Yeah, you know, and the thing about, for those folks that don't understand how poultry contracts work, the grower is responsible for gas, the heating and the cooling, the electricity and everything. The company provides the feed and the birds, obviously, and some other things probably. But for the most part, the grower, all the efficiencies that he can get out of those birds is money in his pocket in the end, is how that normally works. So, you know, that to me, that's really interesting the way that works. We actually got to tour with some of the folks from one of the companies, and it was good to hear their side of things as well, to get a better understanding of how all of this really does work. So, yeah, and so today you talked about a lot about, you know, fans, and we had a lot of discussion about the different kinds of fans. And, you know, talk with us a little bit. You know, I know you said the new technology was coming out, but as far as maintenance goes on those fans and how long those fans last, you know, kind of give us just a rough idea of some of that information.
With one of our, again, biggest power uses are our exhaust fans. And we've gotten, again, they're much more efficient than they used to, but they still require maintenance. And usually during hot weather, the biggest thing is, since they're belt-driven fans, is that A, the belts get worn, and B, the pulleys themselves wear out. So what we find is, what we like to do is, you can buy a little digital tachometer that you just point at the fan, and you can use that to determine fan speed for, you know, $30, $50. It's not very expensive. And you can check with the manufacturer to see how fast they're supposed to spin, so you can keep up with that to know when the belts are supposed to be replaced. The pulleys themselves, you have to be careful that over time the pulleys will become sort of like mirror-like, and they will wear out. And even if you put a new belt on it, won't spin at the right speed. And if it's spinning slow, you're not going to move the air, and you're going to have heat stress problems. So a lot of times, once every maybe 7 to 10 years, you need to replace the motor pulleys. Mm-hmm. And most fans have butterfly shutters and things like that don't require a lot of cleaning, but that's one of those things that you can clean to optimize performance. Mm-hmm. But usually the biggest thing we're looking at is belt wear and pulley wear to make sure that those fans are running at the right speed, so we get the maximum amount of air out of the fans, so we get the maximum cooling for our birds.
You talked about a lot today about the wind speed, you know, the wind speed in a house. And I'm going to say that the general public does not, that's not anything that they're going to think about as far as raising poultry in those poultry houses, you know, what the wind speed and how important that is. So just share a little bit about the wind speed and what you mean by that and how the importance of that in these poultry houses.
You know, during hot weather, what we're doing with our tunnel ventilated houses, we have our evaporative cooling pads on one end, we have our fans in the other. And we're able to generate between a 6 and 8 mile an hour breeze at all times. So no matter what's happening outside, we can have this nice breeze blowing over the birds that helps to pull the heat from the birds and able to keep them cool. Then with our evaporative cooling pads, generally speaking, we can keep the incoming air temperature in that house between 80 and 85 degrees. So no matter if, even if it's 90, 95 degrees outside, we're able to get that air temperature around 80 to 85 degrees. We're able to get a 6, 7, 8 mile an hour breeze blowing over the birds all the time. So it's amazing we can keep them very comfortable. We're not even using air conditioning. It's a very green system. We're using the evaporation of water and power. So again, it's one of those things where we're able to keep our birds cool at a relatively low cost, low energy usage, relatively speaking, compared to air conditioning.
Right.
Which, again, makes it a very efficient system we have.
Well, I mean, when we went on the farm visit today, you know, that was very evident when we went from outside. And today is not terribly hot in comparison to the way it's been, you know, back in June and July, you know, a lot of July. It's cooled off here recently. But when we were standing in those houses, and it wasn't even at the higher wind speeds that that oftentimes you're looking for. It's really amazing how you can cool those houses down, you know, like that, and how important it is, not only for the birds, but just like you talked about today, it's, you got to cool, you know, it is for those healthy birds, but part of that is the litter and keeping that litter in good shape. And that's something that, that folks don't often think about either, is that all litter is not the same. Every litter that comes out of a barn is not the same. And, I thought that was very interesting that, you know, talking about that today and tying all that together and in a way that was, you know, very understandable. And I think that the thing that I noticed a lot today at Ag Expo is, you kept their attention. The information that you were giving out, that you were talking about the whole morning, you know, those growers and those folks that work for these companies, you know, they were really taking in what you were saying, and that tells me that that's innovative people that's wanting to do better, that's wanting to be more efficient and be able to do the best that they can do in the job that they do.
Exactly. We had a, you know, good crowd here, a couple hundred people that are looking to learn more about, you know, the craft of growing chickens. And again, it's very technical and there's a lot of science, a lot of things to learn. And it's great to see the growers that are that interested in learning. It makes my job a heck of a lot easier when people, you know, want to learn about how can we do better.
Oh, sure. I agree.
Yeah. You know, we talked a good bit about, and I don't know the technical term, but they're not stirring fans, but you know, we talked about the placement of those fans, and you can speak on this a lot better than I can, but you know, I thought that was very interesting, and we actually went in a house or two that had, but they were the wrong kind of fans. So talk with us a little bit about to keep that air moving, putting those fans in the center of the house, keep that air moving like it's supposed to. Talk with us a little bit about why that's important.
Traditionally, we've put in circulation fans in the house primarily for use during cold weather to move the hot air off the ceiling down to bird level. It's like no different than your house where you have a high ceiling and a paddle fan to help move the hot air down to be more efficient. So what we've learned years ago, that being able to take that hot air off the ceiling and moving it down to floor level, we can reduce our heating costs 10 to 30%. And that was great. But we're trying to go to the next level now, because now with antibiotic-free production and more emphasis on welfare and bird health and things like that, we need to keep our litter drier. So now what we're looking to do is to take that same concept of using air, circulating air, and ramping it up to get a higher airspeed over the floor to help remove moisture from the litter. One of the concepts we talked about today was I can dry the litter by keeping the house the air dry. But to do that requires a lot of air exchange and a lot of heat and a lot of expense. But an alternative is to have the air reasonably dry, but to move it around a lot. And that's where using circulation fans, usually that move about 2 to 3 times the amount of air that we traditionally have, using those to generate an airspeed over the litter maybe of 100 feet per minute to help remove the moisture from the litter, making us more efficient. And what we've learned with those circulation fans, we still get the fuel savings, but we get drier litter. Drier litter, we get lower ammonia. Lower ammonia, we get better bird health and better performance.
And you also talked about the importance of keeping that that litter dry for their feet, you know.
Paws.
Yeah, and I mean, that's important too. And I mean, and I know that makes sense, but I can't say that I've ever really thought about that very long anyway. Just the importance of that.
I don't necessarily think they get paid for paws. I don't really know everything about what they get paid
for.
Well,
me either.
But I think there are some cases that probably they do, and I think they have to be awful healthy to be able to get paid for those like that.
And I'm sure, like, it's just like, you know, it's just if they're, it, you know, they're just a healthier, less stressed bird.
And the litter, the moisture in the litter is so important to the bird health. I mean, you know, it all kind of starts there. But, you know, I thought the interesting fact, and you may expand on this a little bit, is we're trying to exchange the air in that house every minute. Is that correct? I mean, there are a certain amount of that air.
Well, during hot weather.
Right.
In order to get rid of all the heat the birds are producing in the house, we are generally exchanging the every 45 seconds to every minute. So we have a very high air exchange rate because there's a lot of heat being generated in that house. We not only have to get the heat out of the house, we got to get the heat out of the bird. And that requires air exchange and air velocity. So now during the wintertime, when we're just trying to dry the litter, our air exchange rates are maybe a tenth as much, if not lower.
Yep.
And we're just... But there we got to be careful because in the wintertime, every cubic foot of air we bring in is a cubic foot that we need to heat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always this balancing act. How do I bring in enough to keep my litter dry and my birds healthy, but not so much that I end up spending a fortune on propane to keep the heat up that air?
Yeah, that's the part that's so amazing to me about the management of those houses is this whole, you know, exchanging the air and keeping them warm. And I mean, there's certain times they got to be warm, certain times you got to get the heat off of those birds. And in the summertime produces lots of problems for a lot of different animals, but chickens in general are very susceptible to heat stress. And, you know, we talked a lot about today at a couple of the farm visits about, you know, some problems they had in the past and maybe, you know, trying to figure out why they had those problems. And from what I can gather, we kind of got down to they didn't have enough fans. They couldn't exchange the air fast enough to keep the heat off the birds. And the heat kind of just settled, you know, and you wasn't really taking any heat off the birds.
It's always a challenge. You know, last summer was sort of record-breaking heat, and that's what catches you. You know, during normal weather, many houses had enough airspeed to cool the birds. But when you run into the extremes, you have to have extra airspeed.
Right.
And that will catch a lot of growers. If the fans aren't maintained, the pads aren't maintained, they might not have enough fans, or they might not have enough well-maintained fans to keep, you know, to keep the birds cool. So last summer, in a way, was a little wake-up call saying, okay, we have to take a look to make sure in all the houses that we can get the airspeed we're looking for. So in most cases, we know what we're looking for is an airspeed of at least 600 feet per minute, which is about 7.5 miles per hour thereabouts, you know, to be able to keep our birds cool. If we don't have that, that heat just builds up in the birds, and we run into some of the problems we saw last summer.
Well, and the importance, too, that you spoke of today, too, is making sure you're getting the right information, because knowing where to check that that wind speed makes a difference, because may be getting information, but it
we
may
talked
not
a lot
be,
about bad data today.
It might be bad data, and not that, you know. But, you know, talk about that too, like the importance of making sure you're getting those readings in the right place in the house.
Yeah. Well, you know, to make good decisions, you have to have good data. It doesn't matter, you know, what we're talking about, buying a car or, you know, growing chickens. It's all the same thing about getting good data. And since airspeed is so important, we spent a lot of time today talking about where you measure it, how you measure it, what's the right tool to use. And that's what's the great thing about technology. We can get this little Bluetooth air velocity meter that measures temperature, humidity, and wind speed for like $80-$90.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat.
I did too.
Yeah.
You know, it's the technology that used to cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Now it's just almost disposable. Yep. So here's the right tool. What we're looking at is trying to make sure we measure the airspeed in the right spot. And a lot of times in a poultry house, we want to measure the airspeed towards the sidewall where it's the lowest, because that's where we're going to lose birds if it gets hot. And try and understand, you can have great airspeed in the middle, but if you're not measuring it where the problem is, which is near the sidewall, you might not be able to keep the birds cool when it does get hot.
Yeah, it was amazing to me of how much temperature differences that there could be and wind speed that there could be in the middle to the side. You know, when we talked about where to place your temperature sensors and your humidity sensors, where to put those, I mean, I thought that was very... very interesting, and you wouldn't have thought about it. If you didn't know anything about it, you wouldn't have any idea about this. But, you know, obviously there was some, we were in some houses that some things weren't in the right places, you know, that's the way they'd always done it, you know, for years and years and years, and just, they had never moved it, you know, and I thought you brought that point out pretty clear.
Well, and I think it was interesting too, talking back to the wind speeds and checking those, is, you know, some, you know, like if you take an average and somebody was doing in the middle and on each side and taking the average. But like you said, that's skewed data, because you don't really need to know what it's doing in the middles. It's the sidewalls that you need.
More important.
That's more important. And, you know, and I just think that is such valuable information to know, because I feel like there's, you know, I would not have known that.
Yep. And I think, you know, there's producers that don't,
I do too,
necessarily understand that, you
know.
Once you point it out, they go, oh, yeah.
It does. You know, yeah, it is.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense once you say it. But.
Exactly. That's most of this, is growers have a good feel for it, but sometimes they need a different perspective on it, going, oh, yeah, that's why this happens. They sort of have an idea of what's going on, but sometimes you just have to point some things out to give them some hard numbers. Hey, this is how you measure it. Here's your airspeed. This is how you check fan speed, and this is how you measure it.
Yep.
Again, it's technical field, and grower education is just an important part of it, because, you know, they want to learn, and you just have to be able to, and that's what this expo was, a great opportunity to be able to speak to a few growers and, you know, share some ideas, giving them a different way of looking at things. You know, it's like during my talk, I said, I'm going to probably give you 100 different things. You're not going to remember all of them.
Right.
But if you leave with just two or three items, just two or three things that you feel you can put to use, hey, it's great.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about water consumption. And I know that, you know, I heard you say several times today, and even, you know, when we was doing some farm visits, knowing that water consumption and how you knowing that information can tell you a lot of things. And so just talk about some things that, you know, as a grower or somebody that's just wanting to learn more about it. I mean, you know, what are things when you look at water consumption, what are things that you can tell just by looking at that piece of data that you can get?
One of the fascinating things about chickens is that, you know, really we want to know how much feed they're eating, because that's tell us how they're growing and things like that. But how do you measure how much feed a bird is eating? We can put bin scales on the house and things like that and spend tens of thousands of dollars to determine how much feed they're eating. And what we've learned is birds are very predictable in the amount of the relationship between feed and water. For every pound of feed, they're going to drink around a quarter of water. And that holds true from more or less the beginning of the flock to the end of the flock. So one of the best ways to measure feed consumption is measure water consumption. In that, if I look at water consumption, if water consumption increases from one day to the next 20%, that means feed consumption increased. So we can use that as an idea of how much feed our birds are eating and how they're doing. You know, better than daily is that now we're getting into measuring water usage every 15 minutes. And what that gives you is a picture of feed consumption over the course of the day. You can see in the morning they're drinking more water, which is meeting more feed. You can see in the evening, right before the lights go out, they drink a lot of water, which means they're eating a lot of feed. So nowadays, with the modern technology and our new controllers that can actually graph water usage every 15 minutes, we can actually use our controls to see, hey, how does that feed consumption change over the course of the day? And if there's a drop in the middle of the day, go, what did I do during that period of time? Why did that water consumption, therefore feed consumption, go down? So it's going to be a very useful tool in the future, is that a water meter is, you know, $200-$300 for, you know, really nice one, whereas bin scales are tens of thousands of dollars. So it's a very useful tool to be able to look at the end of the day, look at that water consumption profile, how much they drank at different parts of the day, and trying to figure out, okay, is that good? Is that bad? How does one house compare to another? Sure. I can have three houses. Mm-hmm. Look at their water graphs. I'm going, okay, they drank more water in this house. That means they ate more feed. What did I do? What was different about this house?
So thought it was really interesting today, the first place that we went, they were showing you that graph, and you said, well, something little happened right there.
Thunderstorm.
And it was a thunderstorm.
Yep. Yep.
And I mean, just something like that, but you could see it so clearly that something was, that water consumption dropped. You know,
exactly.
And you know, and that was really eye-opening to see. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. And I'd heard you talk about the data and the water consumption and how important that is. And then, you know, then we could see that on that graph and have those folks there to say, yeah, there was a thunderstorm, to see
you could see. As we were, you know, looking at that graph and you were talking about some other stuff, I was going, wow, that was a big drop right there. I wonder what happened. You know,
right.
And then we finally, you got to it, you know, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I've never thought that they would. It scared them, and they kind of all sat down, and, you know, and people don't understand that, I don't think either, that in these commercial chicken houses that when the lights go out or they get scared or something, the birds just sit down.
Right.
And I think people don't probably understand behavior wise. They're thinking about the chickens running out here in the yard, and it's not the same. I promise you, you know, those chickens are bred for meat production, and to get up and eat and drink and lay down and rest and that type of thing. But I thought that was real interesting. We found that was a thunderstorm right there in the middle of that graph, and you could tell something had gone wrong.
And that's what you're doing. You're looking at that water graph to better understand bird behavior. You know, a grower isn't in the house every minute of every day. By looking at the water graphs and having these modern controllers that can show what happens over the course of the day, he really can understand how management and other factors affect the bird's water consumption and therefore feed consumption.
Yep. I thought it was really interesting. Talk with us a little bit. We're kind of headed towards the end of the show. Talk with us a little bit about your apps and about where folks can find those and what the different apps are that y'all have.
Right now we have two apps we have one app with two different sections in it. The app is called Poultry 411, and it's available for free download. We have it for Android. We have it for iOS. So whatever phone you have, you can download these apps for free. And the app has two different sections of it. You can have, there's a minimum ventilation calculator, and there's a house tightness calculator. So with the minimum ventilation calculator, what it can tell you is how much you need to ventilate the house each day to get rid of the birds, the water the birds drank that day. So quite simply, you put in the bird water consumption, inside temperature, inside humidity, outside temperature, outside humidity, the fans you want to use, and it will calculate, in order to get rid of that water the birds added to that house today, this is how much you need to ventilate. So it's a good tool. And you can play with different temperatures and different humidities, or you could check it each day, say, how much should I be ventilating about? You know, that's theoretical, but you can use that app to give you an idea of about how much you need to ventilate in your house based on your water consumption, based on your temperatures. The second app is a house tightness calculator. Basically, what we do traditionally is we close up the house, turn on a fan, measure the pressure, the amount of negative pressure. The tighter the house, the less leakage there is, and the more energy efficient it is. Same for your house, your home, your dwelling house. In the dwelling house, you can get a pressure test of it. What they do is they take a fan, put it in an opening, pull air out of the house, and to use that to measure how much, how tight it is. With this calculator, it tells you, okay, if you use this fan and you get this pressure, this is your leakage area. It gives you a ranking of where you are. Is it a very poor? Is it an excellent house? So it gives you a ranking. And it also helps you understand when you're using your minimum ventilation, when you're doing putting your fans on timer and just trying to bring in fresh air, it tells you how much air is going to come through all the cracks and how much air is going to come in through your inlets. And the inlets, inlet air is what you want, because that's the air that's going to be directed along the ceiling to move the hot air off the ceiling to heat up and dry out. So it's just a couple tools to help the grower to better understand maybe some of the physics in a way of the house, and tools to help them not only determine how much to ventilate, but also how to be more effective at ventilation.
Yeah, how valuable are those apps for folks? I don't know. Everybody ought to have it on their phone. I mean, I asked some of our good growers, I said, do y'all have Mike's app? And he said, no, but I need to get it. So I think this has opened some folks' eyes, and, you know, hopefully those folks will start to, you know, getting some of that information and using those apps, because I think that's very valuable. And I mean, you can sit there and punch that in every day if you wanted to and figure that out pretty quick. So I think those are very, very valuable assets to folks to have access to. Talk with us a little bit about, if folks want to get more information from the University of Georgia about poultry, where can they find that? How do they get to that?
The quickest and easiest way is go to poultryventilation.com. We've had the site for probably 20 years, and on that site, we have about 400 newsletters, which if you have almost any question about ventilation, you think no one's ever asked that. Over 35 years, and that's how long we've been publishing these things.
Right.
Trust me, there's probably a newsletter about on any subject you want to know. So that's one of the primary ways to get our information. We have a very active Facebook page, UGA Poultry Housing. We have about 20,000 followers on that. Yep. And, you know, we put out videos. We have a YouTube page, UGA Poultry Housing YouTube page, where we have put out some of our, our videos there. The Facebook page is great because what we get, especially as an extension specialist, we get feedback. We sort of can understand what growers' questions what questions growers have, and that's so important for an extension specialist to keep their pulse on what's going on. Right. So we put things out there. This is what we're doing. You know, some of our latest research we're putting out there, studying pads, circulation fans. But just as valuable is the comments from the growers, that they tell us that these questions. You go, okay, they keep on asking this question. That helps direct our research to go, okay, we need to do research in that area because that's where the questions are. And that's one of the great things about social media. There's a lot of bad things, obviously, but it is a very – it can be such a useful tool for someone like me who's trying to educate people to get this conversation going.
Yeah, I actually follow that page. And the reason I follow it is because I want to keep up on the things that new things that y'all have coming out and so that I can talk with my growers about. Because I felt like it was real important when I came to this county to educate myself about poultry and about poultry housing. And so I can talk intelligently, or sort of. I'm not too good at it yet, Mike, but I'm trying. But I do follow that page, and I'm going to get that app on my phone to help folks, to show them how it works. I mean, I think that's real important. As an extension educator, we need to show our folks these new technologies so that they can – they can get it on their phone and hopefully help them make a decision that will maybe save some birds at some point in time, you know, something of that nature.
It's good to have that conversation, you know, that's what the Facebook and a lot of these things have done, is that we're able to, hey, this is what we're doing. What do you think about it? Yep. What questions do you have? So it really is nice, as opposed to the old days when you just put out a publication, you might not ever hear a feedback. And I think it's important for the growers to understand it's a two-way street. Hey, call me up, email me, text me, make a comment, because you know we're looking for that feedback. And if you think something I'm saying is wrong, fine. Let me know. Let's have a discussion.
I think it's a good place to just put out those, you know, checklist kinds of things. You know, it's time to start thinking about winter months are coming on. You need to start checking A, B, and C, you know, and that's a nice platform to be able to do that. And I think that kind of leads us in to our timely tip. We always end our show each week with a timely tip, and we invite you to add to this if you would like to add anything. But it's work with your integrator or extension specialist to maintain proper ventilation in your poultry houses. And I mean, I think you have done that today. I think through the expo today and the farm visits and visiting with David and I, and you know, it really opened my eyes today about the just having that proper ventilation and then the overall effect that it's going to have inside that house.
Yeah.
And you know, if there's anything you want to add to that, you know, feel free.
It is sort of funny. Here we are. I come here and it's 85 degrees out. It's hot weather. It's hot. And I'm talking about cold weather. But as we discussed today about hot weather, it's all about preparation. Is that in the summertime and when it's a hot day, it's almost too late to do anything. That's why you in the summertime, you're in the spring before it gets hot. You're checking your fans. You're checking your evaporative cooling system. You're checking your house tightness, so you're ready for when it gets hot. But at the same time, now we're talking about cold weather. Okay, before it gets cold, let's say make sure our houses are tight. Let's look into maybe putting in some circulation fans. Let's get used to that app to try to see, okay, how much do I have to ventilate and things like that, and how is that going to affect my heating costs and my inlets effective. It's all about preparation.
Yep. And, you know, if you need any more information, really only thing you need to do is Google University of Georgia Poultry Science, and a lot of that stuff will come up. And if you have any questions, you know, you can contact myself or Vicki or your extension office, and they'll be able to get you pointed in the right direction for sure.
That's exactly right. Well, thanks, Mike, and our host for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining us. We hope you have enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. But until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.